Your prayers that you send to the Lord on behalf of the Wednesday night service. Something that I am very serious that I would like you to pray about for the Wednesday night. I love preaching / teaching, but when I preach and teach too long, too frequently, then that means the prayer time is shortened. And I am very much in favor of the Wednesday service being a prayer meeting and not just a midweek service. Now, I realize if we have a missionary in, then it'll be take on more of a midweek service format, and prayers will be one or two men just from the pew. I realize there are times that just depending what I'm preaching, and I maybe wasn't even expecting it to be long, but it is, then we'll just have again a couple men lead. But generally, I want Wednesday night to be prayer meeting. And that cannot be the case if I preach too long. And then, of course, till we go around, you never know how many, thank you, Katie, you never know how many prayer requests there's going to be. And so until we take all the prayer requests, we can get back there, or you ladies out here, we can get started too late, okay? Now, personally, I'm not worried about everything being done at 8 o'clock when we hear the clock, you know, the clock chime. But at the same time, there's no, how do I want to say this? Being short has no great premium, and being long has no great premium. You want to do what's needed to meet the need, okay? And so I am trying to generally have the Wednesday night messages shorter. Now, if you're going to keep track on the calendar, I don't know how it'll end up, okay? But that's something that when you pray about Wednesday night, if you would pray for the Lord to help me to do what He wants, okay? And when I say what He wants, I'm not going to use that phrase, what He wants, as an excuse for what I want, making things long, okay? All right, Psalm 101. I will sing of the mercy, of mercy and judgment unto Thee, O Lord, will I sing. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. O, when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. A froward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. Whoso privily slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. Him that hath an high look and a proud heart will I not suffer. Mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me. He that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. I will early destroy all the wicked of the land, that I may cut off all wicked doers from the city of the Lord. The home is protected by a right heart. The title, were this to be printed somewhere, would be Heart and Home. And this is a Psalm of David. He is speaking of himself. He is making his declaration for when he is king. This is how things are going to be. The home is protected by the right heart, and the two cannot be separated. Verse 2 declares, I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. Here, watch. O, when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. You see, the heart and the home go together. You cannot have the right kind of home without the right kind of heart. And David accepted his responsibility to walk, a phrase often used, carrying what we would say today, meaning to live. I will live within my house with a perfect heart. Perfect, not sinless. Perfect meaning complete, mature, developed heart. And that's what he is saying. Now we have a personal responsibility to this end. Verse 3, he says, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. That's a responsibility we have. Whether it be magazines, whether it be TV programs, whether it be places we go, but we're talking about the home. So we're looking at TV, we're looking at the internet, okay? We're looking at literature that comes in, literature that we would buy out and bring in. David said, I'm going to accept the responsibility to not have any wicked thing before mine eyes. It's decades ago now that Mrs. Hain had the beginning part of this verse printed out, okay? And it sits in a frame. The frame is probably about that wide and about that high. It says, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. And then that sets next to our television. It's there for a purpose. It's to remind us that if we're going to have the right kind of home, we cannot have wicked things showing up. Oh, but it's such a good storyline. It's not worth our sanctification. We cannot achieve holiness simply because something we should not see has such a good storyline. We live by the grace of God and the righteousness of God, not by the storylines of the world. And believe me, when I say that to you, I know what I'm talking about. If there were not such a little sign sitting next to the TV, I'm of a sort that, well, this is a good story. Okay? This is a good story. I just won't think about the other part. Now, that's not the choice to be made. The choice to be made is to not have it at all. We have to make that choice. And you, your wives can help your husbands. Husbands, you may need to help your wives. And definitely, mothers and fathers need to help their children. You've heard me tell already when magazines would come in the house, Mrs. Hain had her black marker, and she'd go through them. And anything that shouldn't be there, she would use the black marker, cover over all, and the whole picture. Okay? Markers were cheaper to buy than the character of our son. Yeah. And so you've got to do what you have to do. Personal responsibility. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I'm responsible for me. And then verse 4 and 5, a froward heart, which means perverse. Even though I know froward doesn't mean forward, I constantly must remind myself. Hence, whenever I find froward in my Bible, I will pen perverse next to it, okay? Because I have to remind myself of that. Can you imagine if we who know this have that struggle with it? How many other people? Hey, good old King James preacher. And one time I was like, I wonder what forward, so I look it up. Oh, it doesn't mean forward. Okay? All right. A froward heart shall depart from me. Okay. A froward heart. He isn't going to allow a perverse heart to be near him. A froward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. He not only would not let a froward heart, a perverse thing, come and take lodging in his heart, but he would not, David says, I will not know a wicked person. I will not. We, we are aware that he would know them, know who they are, but he was not going to know them in the sense of having an interactive relationship with them, and neither can we. There are some people you work with that are perverse, and you can't stop them from being perverse, but you can stop yourself from becoming a buddy and a friend of them. And that's what I believe David's talking about. Verse 5, whoso privily slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. I mean, I am just not going to allow myself to get into a working relationship, and that doesn't mean occupationally, but a living relationship with somebody who slanders somebody else. Because listen, if they talk about somebody else to you, mark it down, they're talking about you to somebody else. But oh, we feel special when they're talking to us about someone. Yeah, well, you won't feel so special when you find out that they talked about you. And so he says, whoso privily slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. Him that hath an high look and a proud heart will I not suffer, permit. I'm not going to permit those kind of people. And you know who they are. You've seen it. You may have been one of them before God delivered you. Person that's so cocky, so self-sure, and so, I mean, the world is about me. And what I think is always what's right. David says here, I'm not gonna have that kind of person, or I'm gonna cut them off. Today I had conversation with an individual who asked for some counsel, and my response was, you probably are going to have to just cut off any involvement until there's a change on the part of the other person. See, but it's my relative, it's a good friend. What about your good friend Jesus? Isn't it important that we have a good relationship with him? Yes. And so what we'll do is sacrifice our relationship with Jesus, because we don't want to upset somebody who is close to us. Character, my friends, character is so important. Pick friends who have good character. So personal protection comes by right choices. Verse 7, he that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. People who are deceitful and who live by and work deceit, David says, the one that tells lies, I'm not going to allow them to just continually live around me and be an influence on me. Listen, there's so many people out there that you can make friends with. You don't need people that are going to drag you down. And drag you down, they will. Now, lastly, in verse 6, is up to us who we choose. Mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walketh in a perfect, a complete, mature way, he shall serve me. Mine eyes shall be upon the faithful. That's who we're going to look at. That's who we're going to make our friends with. That's who we're going to live with. May dwell with me. That's who we're going to live with. People like that. That's how to protect your home, by protecting your heart. Now we're going to go to prayer here before too long. And you know, I read this week. I don't remember where. God is in control, but he doesn't expect you to lean on a shovel and pray for a hole. Okay? Yeah, you had the same reaction I had. I thought, wow, that's pretty good. I quick wrote it down and I thought, I'm going to share that in prayer meeting. All right, thank you for joining us, those of you who have on live streaming. We're thankful for that.